John chapter 20, verses 21 through 23. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." If you had deeply hurt some of your friends and agonized to know that they'd forgiven you, would you be satisfied in thinking, "Well, they might have forgiven me"? For 6 millennia, man has waged revolutionary war against God. Every sin is an attack on his justice, his honor, his love, and his throne. And every one of us is going to stand before that throne. Man's natural way of thinking is that, "Well, I'm going to have to do something to make up for this. Somehow, I'm going to have to earn God's peace." But Jesus steps through that dead wall of man's works to say, "Peace to you." We don't need to be satisfied with feeling, "Well, I might have done enough, that God might be willing to forgive me." No. We, of course, never could, because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified. No, Jesus bestows his peace, a peace that no man can take away from you, because it's not based on anything that you have done, but solely on Jesus' blood and righteousness. Therefore, you don't need to wonder if God might be willing to forgive you. Jesus says, "Peace to you." And that's the Father's own assurance that you have been forgiven in Jesus' death and resurrection as a substitute for all men, that his blood has washed away the guilt of your sins. And you also don't need to wonder whether you can share that message of peace with other people. For sharing that absolution is not dependent upon our sanctity or on theirs, but solely on Christ's death and resurrection being the substitute for each of us. Verse 23, "If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven." It stands complete in heaven. The Father himself is working identically with his proclamation through you. Because in Christ's completed work, he has announced the objective forgiveness of sins for all people in Christ Jesus. This gospel does not fail even in man's unbelief. You've probably heard the illustration. If a billionaire took out a $1,000 bank account for every individual in the city, the fact that some people don't draw it out doesn't mean the money is not there. Unbelief rejects the benefit that is there in Christ Jesus. And yet, what happens? With the pressure of the world to conform and with its mockery, who are you to think that you have the truth? We easily hide our faith, don't we? Like the apostles on that first Easter evening, hiding behind locked doors. And yet Jesus came behind their locked doors, and he comes behind our locked doors with that message, "Peace to you." He shows you his nailed hands, his pierced side, And he invites you to fill your heart with the peace of heaven's grace. Your sins have been forgiven. Jesus' peace to you demonstrates that sharing his peace with others is also not just for the apostles or pastors. It's kind of natural for us to think, well, you know, leave that for the professionals. But it was not just apostles that were behind those locked doors. The Emmaus disciples were there, and probably many more. And Jesus speaking to all of them, peace to you, shows that all who believe in his peace are being invited to share that peace. As my Father sent me, so I send you. Rejoicing in an open heaven, we are commissioned to invite others into this peace of Christ's amazing forgiveness. Yeah, there are doors of fear. What are they going to say? Doors of indifference. Well, let them come on their own. Doors of habit. I'm too busy with other things. You know, during the first three centuries of Christianity, it faced all kinds of persecution, which was intended by Satan to slam those doors shut. But Celsus, a man who was actually writing in opposition to Christianity, described the Christians of those days with these words: even the weavers, cobblers, and fullers, people of most uneducated and rustic character, preach their faith and invite into the kingdom of their God every sinner. Those early Christians were not silenced by persecution, but saw it as an opportunity to let the light of Christ shine out. That peace of Christ that passes understanding. And it was this character of every Christian being bent on a mission that caused that message to spread like wildfire. When Christianity became the religion of the state, its character changed. From individuals witnessing the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ to officials organizing an institution. From people on the run for Christ to officials building a power structure. We will not all here be public ministers, but every one of us, every believer, is to be much more than a dead wall in an institution. Jesus invites each of you who believes in him to share his peace with others. That doesn't mean you need to go to Timbuktu. Sharing Jesus starts wherever you are. Encouraging your friends and family to keep walking with Jesus. For each of you is a member in Christ's body, where each does its part so that the whole body may flourish. Possessing Jesus' peace, your life is no longer merely video arcades and athletic contests. It's not just finding pleasure while you can, a biological crawl from womb to tomb. No, Jesus is breathing out his Holy Spirit upon you and opening the door to heaven. And with that power from on high, he is empowering you to personally proclaim his peace to others, the peace that passes understanding. The Father has forgiven your sins. sharing in his victory, you are sharing in his mission. Your sins have been forgiven in the crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Hymn 65, stanzas 1 and 4.
Sacrifice.